Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Brad Bishop in the chair for Dean Lester this week. Brendan Delaney is here and he was front and centre yesterday. I think he was leading the charge with Matt Hill for the last winner, Glory Days. He joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Warren.
A good day for you yesterday. You left on a high from Sandown. You had the Big Bash cricket. You had great harness racing at Melton. I'm tipping you had a pretty good day yesterday.
It was a good day. Glory Days there, Warren. That was tremendous way to finish off the day in the last. Not only myself and Matty were tipping, but Trav was Trav Noonan, very confident as well. So hopefully the punters followed us in there at the $8 in the last. But it was a cracking day, as you touched on. Great day at Sandown. Captain Ravishing back to his best at Melton. A good old-fashioned stoush in the Hunter Cup, and the Big Bash was a cracker. So a very entertaining Saturday that flowed well and truly through into Saturday night.
Brad Bishop, how did you enjoy your Saturday into Saturday night?
Yeah, it was good fun. I was back on the cricket field yesterday, Warren. We had another win, so we're on the march towards the finals, the Wallen Thirds. But I've been casting my eye over many replays and taking in the action far and wide, and it was a great day's racing. And we're right on the doorstep of the carnival now, so it's only going to get more exciting over the next few weeks.
We can't do it with every race, but what I'd like to try and do with your involvement with the racing and sports operation and their extensive ratings database is just try and give a bit of an insight, particularly with the two-year-old racing and heading towards the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper, just in terms of where racing and sports ratings fit the two-year-olds and try and rank them. We'll try and gain a bit of insight into the races and particularly looking ahead and ranking the performances as they come up as we get through the two-year-old season. Can we slide that into the review, do you think, as we go forward?
I've already got the Boffins up at head base in Canberra on duty there, Warren. I've worded up Adam Blenko and Simon Dinopoulos. I've let those guys know I'll be in touch on a Saturday to see if they can help me out. We often don't get the full ratings fed through until a Monday after the weekend's racing. So the numbers aren't locked in, but with these feature races, the guys are paying really close attention to them, and often a lot of the work is done off the back of those races. So we got some numbers around some of the big performances from yesterday and the most significant ones and the two-year-old races, as you touched on. And what we also might do later on, Warren, is just have a bit of a chat around what the picture looks like at the moment for the two-year-olds, because things are really hotting up next week with the Blue Diamond Preludes, where we're still probably waiting for a filly to merge in the lead-up to the Blue Diamond. And also there's just a little bit of uncertainty around some of those higher rated colts and whether they're actually going to take their place. So we might try and make that a little bit clearer later on in the program.
Zulfikar had the blinkers on yesterday. Ben Mallum aboard for James Cummings in one of the features at Sandown yesterday, the Chairman Stakes, race two on the card.
Then came out deeper on the course VC, Sarasana outside of him and would spot the lead about three. Hell's Son has cut the corner up on the inside, and behind those horses Tocito, Miss Burgoyne and Written Bly. Zulfikar the front runner, 400 metres to go, led by a length to VC, who's giving chase powerfully. Sarasana down the outside winding up, and behind those horses Tocito, it's VC and Zulfikar together. Zulfikar had a kick, 100 metres to go, three quarters VC. Zulfikar is going well, and Zulfikar returns in grand style. VC second to Tocito.
What did you make of the win yesterday, Brendan?
Very impressive up on the speed. We've seen him in the Maribyrnong series down the straight at Flemington, and second time around there, he was a little bit wayward. Blinkers on yesterday, right up on the speed, controlled the race. He was very, very good and quite soft in the end. VC, I thought, was a good effort. Just noting in the stewards report, Ethan Brown saying he's going to come on from that run. I was just a little concerned. Did he really let down as well as we might have expected him to on the soft ground, considering what we've seen him do on that good track there at Flemington? Maybe firmer ground might be a benefit to him. I thought Tocito did a good job. Unforgiving of Sarasana. She bounded up in the air, did a little bunny hop when the gates opened, and that put her in a real tricky position. She was able to regather herself and get a nice spot just off the speed, but when you're at odds and ends at the start of the race, it's hard to get competitive and then finish it off, and they had a good margin on the rest of the field. But he was extremely professional, Zulfikar, but you wouldn't expect anything less from a Godolphin two-year-old.
How'd you see the first, Brad?
Yeah, I love it when a horse can do some work early in the race, which he did. He didn't miss the start, but he wasn't clearly the best horse away, but he was able to burrow through and take up the lead and then was able to round the race off with the fastest last 200 metres of the race. He ran 11.97 for that section. So to be able to do that at the start and then also at the finish after he was challenged, I think when VC loomed alongside at around about the 250 metre mark with those blinkers on, that sort of just sparked him up again and he really found, and he was quite soft on the line as well, winning by a length. He's a fighter and that's a really good trait in a racehorse, and that is precisely why you wouldn't rule him out as some sort of blue diamond hope. He's able to put himself up on speed and he rallies when he is challenged. So certainly not ruling him out. I wouldn't have him as the top seed at the moment, but he won't disgrace himself in a blue diamond. And interestingly, he's most likely to be the oldest horse in the race in the blue diamond, because he's one of these rare horses that is actually born before the horse's birthday. He was born on July 31, so he's got quite a bit of maturity on his side compared with some of his rivals there. And just talking about those ratings, Warren, I mentioned before the colts and geldings. We're not sure the likes that are coming. I think Barber is coming down for James Cummings. Now, he's favourite at the moment. Now, on the time form scale, his rating is 104. And Adam Blenko tells me that Zulfikar is likely to come out of that race yesterday with a rating of around 105, which is what the instructor ran to win the Blue Diamond preview. So if you want to use the ratings template as a bit of a measure to try and marry up these horses, he certainly fits in nicely with some of those that are towards the head of the market in the Blue Diamond. I didn't mind VC's run. He loomed up like he was going to win, but it's an unconventional preparation in the lead-up to the Blue Diamond. He had that run over 1,100, back to 1,000 yesterday. I think he's going to be primed to peak once he does get to the Blue Diamond, so I'm not counting him out. They're the only two that I really want from a diamond perspective. Tecito was one that I do like going forward, though, and I just hope they lower their sights a little bit with Tecito. I think there's a good race there for Tecito in the not-too-distant future. And Lady Bly is the one that I'm forgiving of. Had jumped out nicely going into tomorrow and did have excuses after racing quite wide for the entirety and did box on okay. So I'm not sacking Lady Bly out of yesterday's race either.
The other group race on the card yesterday at Sandown, where we raced on a soft six throughout the day with that drizzle through the morning, was the Geoffrey Balmain Race 7, and Rope to Arataki made it back-to-back with Jamie Carr aboard.
To Arataki, first to straighten, 500 metres to go, by a length Ballet Riche, then Dazzling Lucy, Exolita, then Watch Me Dance, Vespertine hooked to the outside, and they were followed by Forbidden City, and Snap looks to run on, wrote to Arataki up the 250 into overdrive, Ballet Riche moves up on her outside about a neck away, still wrote to Arataki, Ballet Riche chiselling away, Forbidden City late, but wrote to Arataki with 50 metres to go, going well, and wrote to Arataki will win again, racing so well. Wrote to Arataki has won it from Ballet Riche.
Race of 200,000, but a valuable race for the potential and the future broodmare value of Rope to Arataki. Brad, what did you make of this win yesterday?
Yeah, it was a very good ride by Jamie Carr. She knew she had a bit of distance before that turn came up, which enabled her to just ease her way to the front. There wasn't a whole lot of pressure there from the rivals that were making it particularly difficult for her, but she played it beautifully, got there at the right time, and then was able to dictate proceedings up on top of the speed. She's now a Group 3 winner, which is really important, as you mentioned, Warren, for connections, and at 4 from 10 over the entirety of her career, which is a really good record for a horse that's still only relatively early in its career. And the other thing that adds merit to that record is she just had no luck with barriers whatsoever, in particular this preparation. She's had 4 runs. She's drawn 10 of 10, 11 of 11, 9 of 11, and 10 of 11. So she's got a racing style that has enabled her to overcome that, which is a great sign going forward. And there's going to be some point, I'm sure, that she gets a little bit of respite at the barrier draws where she won't have to be doing as much work early in the race. So the future looks very bright for her. Well done to everyone involved there. Ballet Riche has run well, but I don't think we can really mount a hard luck case for her to suggest that she should have turned the tables on the winner. Forbidden City, you might be able to, though. She was held up, checked off heels in the straight, and has still peeled off the fastest last 600, 400 and 200 of the race, and was only beaten just over a length and a half. So there was plenty of merit there to the run of Forbidden City, and also Vespertine. Big forgive there. Boxed on quite nicely, I thought, in the straight after being stuck wide without cover for most of the race.
Not sure if you heard the interview with Matty Williams earlier, Brendan, but just really good insight from Jamie Carr, who's ridden the horse at her last two wins, just thinking that the 3 weeks between runs just had a refraction on the fresh side compared to her previous win, and that even a shorter gap between runs might be suitable for Road to Arataki. I think Matty Williams are going to take that on board. Just goes to show the little subtle changes that you can get and the feedback that you get from our elite riders that just might change a bit of a program for the future. What did you make of that win?
Jamie's rides on this horse have certainly turned it around. I thought she was exceptional there yesterday, and Matty said with Marie McEwen pre-race yesterday that she was a little bit of hard work in the tie-ups and had him walking around. He was on hand solo there yesterday, so he's done a good job, Matty, and wrote to Arataki equally up to the task. She's just taking a lot of bad luck out of her racing style that she previously had of getting back and running on. She always had the talent to win races, but now she's just making it so much easier for herself. She's got a very good turn of foot, and it's much easier using it from the front when you can get control of the race than being a horse out the back. Tempo can be against you, traffic can be against you, and track bias can be against you some days. But if you can get up on the speed and make your own luck, it's a much easier place to win races. She's 2-0 now over Ballet Riche, but I think Ballet Riche will have her day with Road to Arataki. She sat 3 deep last time they met and battled on well. Sat in the breeze there yesterday a length off, got within a half, but Roke Tarataki probably wasn't letting her pass. But if we can get some different circumstances, I can see Ballet Riche turning the tables, particularly if Roke Tarataki is forced to roll along a little bit faster. Forbidden City really good in her work, as Brad's touched on. Vespertine really good sitting 3 deep. Little bit of a jury run out for me with Snap. She was back alongside Forbidden City at about the 300, and Forbidden City's really ran away from her in that last 100 metres or so. Dazzling Lucy ridden really close. Exolita will be fitter. Passion didn't have a lot of room in the early part of the straight. Has finished well down the track, but could have done with some room earlier. But she's a really nice mare, Road to Arataki, and I'm sure that Connections are quite pleased to pick up that black type with her.
They are the two group races on the card. Back to the top of the program, over 1,000 metres. Inundation started a short price favourite, $1.55 to kick off the day.
It is Inundation travelling well by about a length to Fire. No Way Ever runs up behind them from Tycoon Hummer, and then a gap Zorro's Dream. It's Inundation hands and heels at the 300 metres. Now just tapped up 3/4 of a length Fire. Tycoon Hummer is coming on out wide. Inundation has to fight at the 100. Tycoon Hummer and Fire go past it. Tycoon Hummer takes the lead from Fire, and it's going to be the outsider in the field of 5. Would you believe it?
Postscript to this race will continue on with some significant investigations and examinations to go on with Inundation following the performance. Cardiac arrhythmia was noted by the stewards. Brendan, how did you see the first?
He just stopped way too quickly, Warren, for there not to be something wrong internally, because as soon as Jamie went for him at about the 250, the action went to sea. He came right off the bridle really fast, particularly about the 150. When the challengers came at him, you could see he was trying to mount something, but there was just nothing left to give because something wasn't right. So have to be very forgiving of him. There's going to be a postscript to this, you would have to say, because it was just too bad to be true yesterday. But all honours to Tycoon Hummer. Got right down in the weights, got a lovely ride from Matt Cartwright. She was a lot closer than she usually gets, courtesy of the small field. So her task wasn't generally as harsh as it can be coming from a long way off. She got into a nice stalking role. She was strong late. I thought Fire did a good job considering how keenly he went through the early part of the race. No Way Ever, a little bit of a hard luck story. Sitting on the back of Inundation, I'm sure halfway Celine Gaudry would have been more than pleased that she was going to get an opportunity to get out of that little pocket that she was in. But when Inundation didn't pick up, she was forced to come over heels, and No Way Ever has really closed it off nicely. Zorro's Dream was okay. He'll come on from that, be a bit of horse second up, and Inundation, well, I'm sure we're going to get some more information on him in the coming week. But Tycoon Hummer, a lot closer was what helped her get over the line yesterday.
Yeah, Mick Price was really generous with his time post the race, and from the stewards' report, the cardiac arrhythmia was noted, and Inundation won't be able to start in a race prior to an ECG report after within 30 minutes of completing a satisfactory gallop of at least 1,000 metres. But both Jamie Carr and Mick Price, Brad, commented post-race that something's not right. He was very wobbly in his action immediately after the race. And, you know, they were quite concerned that, that there could be something even more serious with the horse. He recovered okay, but they're going to do some really detailed cardio testing on inundation and try and get to the bottom of what was no doubt a below par performance yesterday, Brad.
Those tests do need to be carried out because it's the second time in a row. We spoke about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, Warren, when the horse got really wobbly over the final 50 metres. You could see he was extravagant in his action, throwing his head up and down. And then yesterday, a similar report from Jamie Carr. Mick Price said that she, after that run, two runs ago, that she almost jumped off the horse after crossing the line. And she reported similarly that he wasn't right and felt like he was a little bit wobbly on his feet after yesterday. So he was at the 300 metre mark. He was still the horse you wanted to be on. He was still cruising, and then the others were off the bit. And then 50 metres later, those warning signs started to emerge. Like at the 300 metre mark, Zorro's Dream looked like running a clear last, and he's beaten him home. So there's clearly something amiss with inundation. The punters might be a little bit wary next time out. We're probably going to want to see him do it whenever that is, but hopefully they can get to the bottom of things with this testing. We do need to pay some credit to Tycoon Hummer, who was very good. John McArdle mentioned yesterday and again earlier on today, Warren, with you, that she doesn't like wet tracks. So for her to be able to do that and be a clear sectional star, she ran the fastest last 800, 600 and 400 metres of the meeting yesterday. So it's good to see her back in winning form. She's a stakes-winning two-year-old from a good family. She's off to the mare's sales later on in the year, I think. So I think the owners might be in for a nice payday there. Another one to follow is Zorro's Dream, who I mentioned out of that race. Looked like it was going to be last home at the 300-metre mark, but peeled off the fastest last 200 metres of the day, which was 11.61 seconds. So he might be one that we can follow once he gets out over a little bit further later on in the prep.
Fun fact, I know you love your quirky stats, Brad, passed in by Richard via SMS, that Tycoon Hummer's won 4 races and they've all been during the month of February. So you need to strike with Tycoon Hummer, Brad, during February.
Well, the good news is I think we've got 3 more Saturdays in February, so there's plenty of options now ahead for Johnny McArdle as they try and add to that value that we're going to get later on in the year at the mare's sale.
Matty Cartwright getting down in the weights there and getting Tycoon Hummer back a winner. Zulfikar took out the chairman's. We get to race 3 and Carlene Heffel took a claim aboard Hennessy Lad for Peter Moody.
2 lengths in front of Aperitivo Field the moment. Hennessy Lad to the outside, a little bit wayward, and then came Black Max out even deeper from Michelotti, but Acosta's going to try and steal this. 250 metres to go, still led by over 2 lengths, Hennessy Lad, and then a gap Aperitivo, Black Max. It's Acosta, 100 to go, getting tired. Hennessy Lad is gobbling up the margin. Hennessy Lad grabs Acosta and will win. Hennessy Lad.
Well, sometimes it can be overplayed, the luckless run the start before, but Carlene Heffel tried to just maintain that clear momentum yesterday, Brad.
There were stages there, though, where those that were on last start thought they might have been going through the same thing, because just when that race was starting to hot up, and I'm sure Carlene wanted to get going a little bit earlier than she was able to, she was just a bit of a meat in the sandwich there between a couple of those long shots that had been doing a little bit of work in the race, so he always got the impression the run was going to come at some point. It was just a matter of when. And the good news for the backers was that there was no repeat of last time out, and that run came. And then even though it was only in the final sort of 50 or 75 metres that she reeled in the leader, Acosta, it was pretty soft on the line. You could tell that like Carlene had basically eased up on her in those final couple of strides. So I think the win, there was a lot more merit to than what the margin would actually suggest. But it was a good run from Acosta, a good ride from Jordan Childs as well, giving the favourite something to chase. So he was jumping in class going into that race yesterday, so it might be something to beat in a similar race next time out. Of the rest, Black Max was just a little bit keen in stages there, and it was no shock that he wasn't able to finish off, probably a little bit disappointing. And one that we might want to take out from the beaten brigade there is Northern Barrage, who did catch the eye late. It might have been flattering a little bit just with a lot of those horses stopping, but there was enough there to suggest that there was merit to the run there of Northern Barrage, and there might be a race for it next time out.
Brendan, in the stewards report, Damien Oliver just noting that Black Max might be better coming back in distance from the 1800 metres. Brad mentioning that he got a little bit keen. I thought Ollie was riding in turn into the home straight. I thought he might be contributing to some hard luck for Hennessy late again, but I don't think Black Max was going well enough to be able to hold that spot. How did you see it, Brad?
Yeah, Hennessy, Lad, Treasury Place were all up there trying to ensure that it wasn't great watching for Hennessy Lad followers again. But Hennessy Lad really good after that, well, the car crash that we seen at Moonee Valley last time out behind and just couldn't get out. Nice rolling tempo that backed off the middle stages. That back off really contributed to Black Max getting up on the steel. Hennessy Lad got out in plenty of time. One of the advantages of Sandown Hillside, such a long straight. Carlene had plenty of time to let him go through his gears and chase out after Acosta. Just wondering if Jordan Childs had his time again with Acosta, if he holds on just that little bit longer. He really went full throttle about the 400. If he had his time again, does he wait till he gets to the 3, the 275, before he forces Hennessy Lad to come out and chase? He's only been beaten just under half a length on the line, so in a game of inches, maybe next time he might, if he had his time again, maybe he waits a little bit longer. Northern Barrage good from the back, forgiving of Aperitivo, who sat in the death there on that rolling speed, even though Acosta's beaten him, beaten her a fair way. She was making a couple of big rises in class. She was only a maiden winner a couple of starts back, so can see her improving it, and Black Max will keep for another day. Little bit disappointing in field at the moment. I thought she was a little bit better than that, but she dropped off pretty tamely back end of 1800 metres.
Nothing from a stewards report, a post-race veterinary examination for field at the moment. Zach Spain just reporting that may well have not handled the conditions there. Just while we're talking about the track, before we get Brad's take on this race, Brendan, Jeff, a regular contributor via SMS, just thought it might have been a little bit hard to make ground from anything further back than about half the field yesterday. Those horses had their work cut out. How did you see the track play?
I thought the track played okay. Probably inside two lanes, you didn't really want to be there as the day wore on. But, horses with races with tempo, I think they had their chance to make ground. Benedetta made ground out deep. British Columbia rolled on the speed, but controlled that speed. Rotarataki controlled from the front. Carlisle ran on from the back. So I thought there was a pretty even spread. And then at the end of the day, where we thought you couldn't make ground up the inside, Glory Days was able to do that. So tempo related as we harp on a fair bit. Track pattern had plenty to do with how the races were run in the early part to how they finished.
Brad, how did you see any overall pattern, first of all?
Yeah, I didn't think there was any noticeable bias, and that Carlisle race was a good one to exemplify that tempo played probably the key role, because they did go above standard in that race, and it was momentum out wide there for some of those horses that swept home over the top, Carlisle and Hickok. So that went to show that if the tempo was on early, the horses at the back got their chance.
What did you make of the win? We've spoken about Hennessy Lad and Carlene Effel. I was talking to Pete Moody afterwards, and he's really pleased with the way Carlene's evolving. She's not necessarily, Brad, a get up and stand over them type of rider. You don't expect that, but she really gets them to roll into the race and maintains a really good balance, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does that, and there's been some examples of over recent weeks of how she's able to, she's got a bit of versatility in her riding, being able to do it up on speed, but also able to think her way through a race back in the field, which is a really good example. And a really good trait for an apprentice jockey. She does get really good opportunities being teamed up with that Moody stable, but you need to make the most of them, and that's what she's doing on most occasions.
Jason Warren's got a nice filly on his hands in Benedetta. She won again, race four yesterday.
Colorado Cruz and Valancourt, 500 metres to go. They straighten two lengths Field of Praise. Harmonious Sonora's trying to edge off the fence. Benedetta under a hold is moving into the race very swiftly. As they reach the 300, Benedetta lets down lead. Here's Discerning the outside, giving chase again. It's a carbon copy of a couple of weeks ago where Benedetta lets go at the 150, about a length in front of Discerning, who's going to give her a race. Benedetta, three quarters, a half, Discerning. Benedetta going home a little bit too well and scored. Benedetta by a length, Discerning. Belmere third.
There's a benchmark 78, Brendan, but Benedetta was the highest rater with a benchmark rating of 67 going into yesterday. So it wasn't a race that had a benchmark 78 horse in it, but still she looks promising to my eye. How did you assess her win yesterday?
A couple of horses I'm happy to take out of this. One for a bit easier, two for a bit stronger, maybe three for a bit stronger. Benedetta back off that rolling tempo. We knew we were going to get some speed with Valancourt in the race. Valancourt couldn't get across, so they really rocked along enough in front to allow enough tempo for something to come from the back, and that's where Benedetta was. Got out into clear air. Lovely ride by Dan Stackhouse. When Discerning got to her, Discerning, I reckon, got within a long neck. As soon as Discerning got up with him, probably eye shot of Benedetta, she really dug in again and fought, and that was it's a great trait to have, like the way she came away in that back end to win by a length after. There was almost a long neck between them, you could tell from the tracking shot from racing.com at different stages. Discerning's done well coming from the tail of the field. They've really got clear of the rest. Horse very forgiving of his Balmia. She was alongside Benedetta through the running, and when Benedetta was out making looping runs, Balmia was there left marking time, and when she's got out, she's closed off really strongly. And probably one for Benedetta, is she needs to get the start right. She was slow out again there yesterday. If she can jump and get a closer spot than what she was able to take up yesterday, it's only going to aid her. Harmonia Senora, I think, is a horse that can drop back to something easier and win. Russian Benefits was just steady late, and then the on-speed horses really dropped out behind them. But Benedetta loved the fight she showed when Discerning really got there and challenged her at about the 100-metre mark.
How do you see this one, Brad?
Yeah, I'm with you on Balmia there, Brendan. Was beaten 3 3/4 lengths, but I think it's easy to mount a case to suggest that she might have even gone to the line pretty close to Benedetta had she had clear running there. Just at that stage where Daniel Stackhouse was hitting top gear in the first half of the straight, Balmia was looking for runs, having to check off heels, and then got out and hit the line nicely. So, yeah, you could take the trifecta out of that race yesterday. We've mentioned a couple of times over recent weeks that there's really good opportunities for these restricted fillies and mares in particular over the summer period. Those opportunities are going to disappear over coming weeks, but I think the horses coming out of this race yesterday, as you touched on, Warren, the ratings probably didn't justify the benchmark standard of the race, but those top three over the line, I think they're going to be horses that quickly elevate their rating and still might be able to find a race somewhere in town as the carnival does hot up from next weekend.
Race 5, British Columbia hit that race third up. Jordan Childs rode the speed for the Graham Beck stable.
500 metres to go, led by about a length and a half, Marlion's Dream, Rheinberg, Victory Bay, Euro Dandy back to the inside from Super Razi, Galactic Fury winding up, and so too Unusual Culture. British Columbia trying to run away from them at the 200 metres, but they're closing. Victory Bay, Galactic Fury and Rheinberg, still British Columbia, 100 metres to go, a wall chases including on the outside Unusual Culture, but British Columbia clear, punched out, and British Columbia beat Unusual Culture.
Big, strong, free-going style of horse. Just before you get your take on this race, Brad, Rhino's chimed in. He thinks Balmia is going to be a group horse in the future. He's very keen on the potential of Balmia for the Jamie Edwards stable, agreeing with both yourself and Brendan. How did you see British Columbia's win?
Yeah, I like the ride of Jordan Childs here. I think he'd had experience on British Columbia before these last two starts, but I think he learnt something from last time out that maybe it would have been better if he got rolling earlier on British Columbia, because he was challenged in that race that Shoveover won, but then he was coming back at them on the line. So I think he had a little bit more to offer that day. And what Jordan did yesterday was just get rolling a little bit earlier on, and he was still going strongly on the line. So that was a good front-running ride there from Jordan Childs, and that played a key role in, I think, British Columbia being able to get over the line. He was probably also a little bit fitter yesterday as well, so he probably had a little bit more confidence in being able to do that. So that was a good result for the team there. Unusual Culture was the obvious eye-catcher, and I reckon it'll be ready to fire next time out. Had the two runs back now. Maybe it might even go straight to 1,600 next start, and from a better barrier, maybe being able to settle a little bit closer, I think a win could be in store next time out for Unusual Culture. Rheinberg boxed on well. Euro Dandy and Victory Bay, they were two that could have done with a little bit more room rounding the turn and into the home straight, and they've hit the line nicely. So I think their runs were full of merit as well. But well done to Jordan Childs, and Unusual Culture probably the horse to take out of that race of the Beaten Brigade.
Brendan, it was interesting chatting to Chris Hyland in the previous hour. He's going to become an assistant trainer for Graham Begg. Obviously, Graham and wife Sue and Rowan Hughes and the team there do a great job with their stable, and adding someone with the experience of Chris Hyland underneath Graham as an assistant trainer can only help help make the, I suppose, life a bit better for all. And as Chris said, he'll then get some holidays, and it probably takes a little bit of pressure off Graham at times, Brendan.
You know, someone bringing into his stable with a wealth of knowledge that's trained to his fair share of winners himself. So that's a great get for the Graham Begg stable. I'm sure Chris Hyland's more than happy as well to be not having to train for his paid, pretty much. He's going to get to do what he loves to do, work with the horses, and get well rewarded and get some holidays. So I think everyone's going to be a winner there in the Begg stable. But British Columbia led yesterday, rolled. Jordan Childs really gave him a nice rev up coming out of the dip. A different horse, I think, to Acosta in the way that Jordan got rolling a fair way from home on British Columbia, because he had a pretty soft lead in front. Unusual Culture has done a good job from being back and wide. Liked Reinberg in the last 100 metres. He was the first of those lead horses to really come off the bridle and look like he was going to drop out, and they all got to him. Galactic Fury, Euro Dandy, Victory Bay, all got to him, went past him, and he came back hard at them in the last 50. So I think third up now, going to his next run, fourth up, he can be winning. Euro Dandy went back to the inside. Not sure that was the A ground. I think he's a little bit better as well when he gets out wider on the track. Chris Calthorpe doing a great job with his team at the moment. And Galactic Fury boxed on well after covering ground. Super Razi just got a little bit tired late, but don't drop off Super Razi. A win's not too far away, even though he has been up for a long time. And just harping back to the previous race, we did have Jamie Edwards on post race. Craig Williams, very, very bullish as well that Bellmere is up to stakes grade. The instructions were to Jamie, go find yourself a stakes race because she'll be winning soon.
We've got a comment via the SMS regarding Treasury Place in that race too. And just going back reading from the stewards report that Treasury Place, who you'd say covered a bit of ground and worked hard earlier on in the program and raced three wide without cover from the 1,000 metre mark. This is going back to race three after being unable to find cover. So, yeah, well identified by the SMS. A tough run doing a bit of work for Treasury Place yesterday. Good performance, the victory there of British Columbia for Graham Begg and Jordan Childs. And vetted for the stewards when they arrived on course was Carlisle after being fractious in the float. They got it right. John Maloney, Jared Fry combined for the girls who've been loyal supporters of the Maloney stable.
Lowell and Hickok. Morrissey at the 450, just in front of He's Exceptional and Thor in. Daytona Bay just needs an out. Going back towards the inside, has a wall in front of it. Cristani chiming in and Carlisle right down the outside. Now Daytona Bay has got out. Can it accelerate? At the 150, Carlisle from Cristani, Daytona Bay. William Thomas is coming through and then Hickok. Carlisle in front at the 50 from William Thomas. Hickok. Carlisle. Carlisle's going to win it. Carlisle and Nick. Second Hickok,
William. Well, $31 in the market, Brendan, so that they weren't keen. The punters on Carlisle, how'd you see his win?
No, I wasn't keen on him either. The fact that we didn't see a jump out or a trial, a great training performance from John Maloney, but a race where there was some speed, allowed horses to run on from the back of the field, and Carlisle, he was really strong late, wins for the first time first up, but John Maloney's got the team firing first up. We had Legionnaire bowl along at Geelong going back a few weeks ago to win first up as well, but good strong effort from Carlisle. Hickok's done a good job. He's not far away from a win. He had no luck at all first up at Moonee Valley. He's rock solid through the line. William Thomas continues to do what William Thomas does, get back, find a little bit of trouble and flash late. And you would think the old boy's not too far away from a win. Marie McEwen had a chat with John Price post-race on race day yesterday. He was booked to go to the paddock today. They might keep him up for one more just as he's going so well. Daytona Bay could have done with some a little bit more room at the top of the straight. Was just hemmed away behind horses that were on speed, that were tiring. I thought Crestani did a marvellous job, and it was a very good ride by Celine Gaudre. I thought to roll three deep and give Jamie Carr little options on Daytona Bay, but to have to go through those leaders unless she wanted to relent a length and come onto the back of Crestani. Really good ride there. But good closing effort as well from seven horse Conqueror. I think he's not too far away. Jury out horse for mine is really Fujita Sam. got back in the pack with Northern Aero. You want to use Northern Aero as a bit of a benchmark. We know he's a very good country sprinter, middle distance sort of horse, and Vegeta Sand couldn't put Northern Aero away first up, and Carlisle was back with Vegeta Sand and it has run away from him first up. So I know there might be some improvement there. Be interesting to get your feedback, Warren and Brad, and from the listeners on the SMS, just to where they think Vegeta Sand is, because if he was going to be pushing for some top line races, Warren, I would have liked to have seen him finish that off a little bit better yesterday.
I agree with you. Rider Damien Oliver reported that he would benefit from the run. I love the look of him in the parade ring. I thought he'd actually strengthened up a bit and looked to be more furnished, even though he's only had a light break since the spring. I really love the look of him, and I thought he was off speed and he got out to blend into the race, but he was just even to the line. So there will be some fitness improvement, as Damien Oliver's suggested, but I would have liked to see more. How did you see this race, Brad, and a comment on Vegeta Sand?
Yeah, we're just struggling to work out where he fits in for Vegeta Sand, because he ran really well in the Stutz Stakes, and you thought that that was going to be a bit of a springboard to Group 1 goals later on in the campaign in spring, but he was disappointing in the Guineas, and then they went straight from the Guineas up to the 2,500 metres of the Derby, and he was never a factor there as well. So I'm just not 100% what they might have in mind for him, but they probably just want to see him get back into the winner's stall, because he has only had that one win from eight starts, and he's always carried a bit of a reputation because of that, but we just need to see him get back into the winner's stall. And it's going to be really telling where they do head and what we see from him next time out. But in terms of the winners, this was the race we mentioned earlier on. There was good speed, and we saw the favourite, Daytona Bay, didn't have the clearest passage in the home straight. So if it had just had been able to ease back around them and get to the outside and maintain that momentum, it might have been a different story. But Daytona Bay being held up did present the race for those that were coming from the back of the field. And I nearly cried earlier on, Warren, when you had the owners on Carlisle, and they said they don't bet because it's a bit of a waste, this horse, the record that it's crafted. It won its first two races at 260 and 180, and then the four wins since, it's been $18, $10, $21 and $31. So there's been some big opportunities gone begging there if they haven't been punting.
Yeah, they love their horses. They're more focused on the breeding. Got an SMS, so I think this could be tongue-in-cheek and it could be an alias. Peter from Port Melbourne, who could be a member of the Saturday morning panel if I'm reading the SMS correctly, wants to know, Brendan, where you think William Thomas will go next. I think he's joined at the hip to William Thomas.
I'm a big fan of William Thomas. Don't know where he'll go next, but he just keeps running well. He is one of my favourites. He has been for a long time. Back when you get attached to these horses, Warren, when you see them at the trials and then you back them and they win first at their debut run, you just build a little relationship with him, and he's one of my good mates, William Thomas.
Tongue-in-cheek, I said to John Price yesterday, surely you throw in a nom for the oar on the back of that, but I don't think he'll be doing that, but he did run well, and he's been performing consistently throughout the preparation. Race 8 on the card, the market honed in on Detonator Jack. The stablemate, Right You Are, gave them a galloping lesson.
Just starting to come on, still seven off the lead. So it's Nancho at the 400 metres. Right You Are strides up on the outside to claim it. Three length stars of Carambel Toro and Detonator Jack still coming on, but Right You Are has stolen a march. 200 to go, two lengths, three lengths in front of Bel Toro, Detonator Jack. It's all Right You Are. Right You Are is going to win it easily. It is the three-peat. Right You Are bolted in, Bel Toro second, Detonator Jack.
Tweak with the headgear, the visor went on, the winkers came off, and he appeared to win in dominant fashion. Brad, how do you see this one?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a dominant display. He looked like being anything early on, Right You Are. Then he went off the boil a little bit, but he's come back and he's deep into this preparation now, but he's won three races in a row and it looks like there's more in store. Detonator Jack was obviously the talking point out of the race, and stewards did question John Allen on the way he handled the horse, but to be honest, it wasn't a whole lot different to what we've seen. The way he's ridden Detonator Jack in other races this preparation, and he won one of them in similar fashion earlier on in the prep at Sandown, doing pretty much what he did yesterday. And if you were on, you would have no doubt wanted him to see him a little bit closer and in the race earlier. But when it all boils down to it, he still wasn't able to run past Bel Toro, and that was after doing very little work. So in the early stages of the race. So I still thought he was disappointing. And there were some comments from the stable post-race that maybe the 1,800 metres is a little bit too far for him now, because, which is interesting for a horse that we thought was a big chance in a derby and has run well earlier in his career over longer trips in restricted grade. But now as an older horse, it might just be that he's got that really short, sharp turn of foot, and 1,600 metre races might be the go for him. Bel Toro was outclassed in that race yesterday, but he's run well again and might be one that you can take out of the race if they can find something a little bit weaker for him. And the other one is Grand Promenade, who just had to ease around the midway down the straight, which is not what he would have wanted when he was trying to build momentum. But he hit the line with a full head of steam as well at what was his first run for the Melbourne Cup. And once he gets deeper into the prep, fitness is really built and gets up to distances that are more to his liking, he might be some sort of force in maybe even a race like the Sydney Cup.
What did you make of this one, Brendan?
I think they've just got to try something more with the Detonator Jackton riding him cold out the back. And that was there for all to see, that there was going to be no tempo at all in that race yesterday. They still decided to ride him out the back. Right You Are was a gift at that sort of a price if you really got down it and studied the map, because there was no speed in it. Nancho got up on the speed, rolled along. Right You Are settled right on his hammer, and there was no way Detonator Jack, even though he has a great finish, the way the race was going to set up, that he was going to be able to pull off four or five lengths off Right You Are, who was going to get a close run behind the speed. I think they've got to try and ride him closer in races like that. Trav Noonan made a good point yesterday. You've got to ride the race, even though there are some patterns that horses like to have. He deserved to be, well, he should have been a lot closer than he was yesterday, he might have finished a little bit closer. But nonetheless, I think keep dropping him out the back where there's no speed in races. It happened last time. He got to Sosie Bond, couldn't go past him because the tempo was slow. And same again there yesterday. Right You Are's a really good horse, and he got a really good run behind a soft tempo there yesterday, and they weren't going to beat him from a long way out. Bel Toro's done a good job going to 1,800 for mine. I had a query on him at a strong 16. He ticked that box at Flemington. He's done a good job on slow ground too, because his record on soft ground hasn't been great. Made the case Detonator Jack. Grand Promenade was good. Stars of Karen was okay, and the rest just battled out the back. But if you're playing in the run, Right You Are was a gift for you a long way from home.
A couple of SMSs via Hariba. I'll try and get an answer for you about the post-race trainer and jockey interviews, Hariba, but also praising Trav Noonan, who was very adamant that the gear change on Glory Days was something worth taking note of. So we got to the last at Sandown yesterday.
Second Duke of Hastings, Comanche Brave, 400 metres to go. River Plate up on the inside, blew the whistle. Then We Take Manhattan, San Fabrizio, 3 4 pences winding up out deeper, and St Lawrence coming with it. River Plate as they reach the 200 metres from 3 4 pence, and St Lawrence the outer. River Plate, Glory Days has got through. Glory Days piercing the gap, 100 to go, drove up to 3 4 pence. Glory Days has won it. Glory Days a half length.
Well, aptly named, as you and yourself, Matty Hill, Brendan and Trav were very keen on it. So it was a glory day for you. Take us through your thoughts here.
Oh, it was wonderful, wasn't it? Back on the fence, carrying 60 kilos, conceding the weight. Trav Noonan, he's a very, very good man with a stat. Mark Zara going onto horses for the first time under single figures is a really high percentage. And the Mar Eustace team blinkers on first time. He only had the nearside blinker on because he wanted to roll in at Warrnambool at his Australian debut. But he really got to the line sharply there yesterday, and he was given a peach by Zara back on the fence. Went through in the ground. No one really wanted to be in. And he's a much better horse than this grade. Trav and I were chatting post-race. Matty agrees, had a chat with Carl DiOrio about his form prior in the UK. And he's a horse that in 12 months from now, you don't be surprised to see him in a major handicap over some ground. He's got some serious gears, Glory Days. And that was just the start there yesterday. Poor old 3 4 pence must be wondering what he's got to do to win a race, because he got the charm run there yesterday, got all the breaks, and he might have just run into a really, really good horse. St Lawrence, very good. Covered a stack of ground there yesterday. Still came on the line. River Plate was there with his chance. Teasers closed off well. A horse from back in the field that I really liked the run of was Duke of Hastings. He got a long way back. He was only getting warm late, going through his gears. So progressing up in trip, you would think he's going on the right sort of path to be winning when he gets up towards that 2,000, 2,400 metre mark that we've seen him win at last preparation.
I heard that post-race discussion, Brad. I'd call it more gloating than a chat. But anyway, we'll move on from that. The team are very happy with the performance of Glory Days. How did you see the last?
It sounds like I was the only one not on. And the
you and me.
The bit that's really tough to swallow, Warren, is I was on first up at Warrnambool, and I did not follow up because the horse that I backed in that race yesterday was the one that you and I made our horse to follow from a few weeks earlier, Timor. He was terrible. I thought it was a really encouraging Aussie debut from him at Flemington, and then just never a factor yesterday. He did race a little bit more dour than what we saw first up, so maybe he needs to get up in trip, but that was a very promising win. The form that he brings to Australia, second in an Irish Derby trial, and then, although well beaten, he did go around in an English Derby and an Irish Derby. So he's a horse that was bought to contest better races than he ran in yesterday. And on the strength of what we saw yesterday, they can be a little bit optimistic that that is going to be the case. And what I liked also was the manner in which he did that yesterday. It wasn't a swoop around them and round them up and look like a horse that's going to get over further. Mark Zahra did have to weave a passage in the home straight there, and he showed a turn of foot. So plenty of merit there to the win of Glory Days. 3 4 pence was very good. St. Lawrence seemed to have every chance but just lacked the spark of previous runs. And River Plate's a horse that we've seen a bit over these last couple of months and might be a little bit better served if it's just able to dictate proceedings on top of the speed like it did the start before at Sandown. And Teaser is the horse that was the eye catcher and also one that might be able to find a little bit weaker race than yesterday, and there might be a win in store for it as well.
We're back at Sandown on the Hillside Circuit for the Group 1 All, the Blue Diamond Preludes for the boys and girls and other stakes races Saturday, Brad. Current future market for the Ore Stakes has On Thunderstruck, Jack and O Tuvalu heading the betting, Mr. Brightside. I think a number of those horses are heading there. Aft Cabin and Notorious are in the market. I don't think they'll be heading to the Ore Stakes. Have you got any idea of any confirmed runners heading to the Ore next Saturday, Brad?
Field of around about 11 or 12. You mentioned On Thunderstruck, Alligator Blood, Tuvalu, Mr. Brightside. Nugget is going to run for the Kieran Mars stable. John Allen will be taking the ride there. Regal Power and Western Empire are potential runners as well. Now, Western Empire is going to be ridden by Aaron Lynch. This will be his first ride in a Group 1 race, so that's that'll be a good experience there for Aaron. We need to see a bit of improvement from Western Empire, but he's had a couple of runs under the belt now, so sort of approaching D-Day for him. Gentleman Roy, the Hayes team are toying with giving him a spin around. Mark Zahra might take the ride there. Call sign Mav is in the running to take its place with Jamie Mott. Chris Wallace still working out whether he's going to have any runners in the race and which ones, if so. Fangirl's been touted as a potential runner there, and also Jack and O for Damien Lane. So it's great that we've got a three-year-old in there. They've had a good record in the race of late, and he's got the fitness under his belt as well. So it's shaping up as a pretty good way to kick off the Festival of Racing.
Should be a terrific day's racing there again back on the Hillside Circuit next week. Now, time for a break. Come back, discuss the performance of Aft Cabin yesterday.
Getting itchy fingers on Zoo Tiger as they straighten up. Toronomica races to a narrow lead now from Capital Queen. Aft Cabin is still cruising in third, followed by Communist, Williamsburg, Zoo Tiger under a very vigorous ride looking for clear running. McDonald said go now on Aft Cabin, and the favourite race is two lengths clear. Zoo Tiger goes to second, then came Communist, but it's a great return to racing for Aft Cabin. A big winner, Zoo Tiger second, Communist third in front of Brosnan.
Brendan Delaney was gobsmacked with that performance of Aft Cabin yesterday. We'll start with you, Brad. How did you see his return?
Oh, it was just what you want to see from a horse that's got bigger goals a few weeks down the track. He was a horse that bowed out of the Spring Carnival with issues, but he probably would have been the horse to beat in the Caulfield Guineas had he gone around in that race. So it's good to see that he's come back well. And just from a ratings point of view, Warren, I mentioned there that he would have been the horse to beat in the Caulfield Guineas. He rated with time form 1.16 when he won the Guineas Prelude. Now, Golden Mile won the Caulfield Guineas in 1.14. So had he run up to that Caulfield Guineas Prelude in the Guineas, he would have won that race. And Adam Blenko tells me that he's probably going to come out of yesterday's race with a rating of 1.16. So that's probably really encouraging given he's got bigger goals to come. You think there's improvement to come. He's going to be better when he gets out over further. So it's hard to see anything he raced against yesterday turning the tables. If they do stay up there for the Randwick Guineas, and it might be one of these Kiwis, the likes of Peer or maybe even Sharp and Smart, that could be his biggest opposition in the Randwick Guineas if they do head that way. Was he talk? Was when you had James on earlier, was he talking about Golden Mile or Aft Cabin as a potential horse to come down to Melbourne and then on to the Australian Guineas? Because I think the perception's always been that he was going to be going to the Randwick Guineas.
Yeah, I think that Golden Mile could even be a chance to try and go to a Doncaster with a lightweight. James referenced the Guineas, and I think at this stage the preference is the Randwick Guineas for Aft Cabin, and maybe Golden Mile is going to... I think they'll potentially clash in the Hobartville next and then determine a path from there, and I suppose they could split them in terms of Guineas, but I think at this stage the Randwick Guineas is the preferred option for Aft Cabin. How did you see the win yesterday, Brendan?
It was a good win. He put them away as you would expect to, considering the two horses that that sat up in front of him. One was off a benchmark 64 win, another was having her second start off a maiden win. So you'd suspect the horse with his quality getting a nice run behind two horses that are have maybe have reached their peak in what they're going to do in the career. Maybe not, but the way he put them away yesterday is what you'd expect after having a 64 and maiden lead him up.
And I suppose now though, having that bleeding attack, Brendan, they know how to manage him, I suppose. We know that all horses, but particularly the Godolphin, they've got all their expertise at their disposal. They would keep a very strong eye on how he recovers and his, you know, his breathing, etc. But gee, positive signs from yesterday.
Yeah, most certainly so. And if Godolphin can't stay on top of it and fix him up and keep him in the rider, I don't think there's another stable in the country that would be able to match them there in, you know, the facilities they've got at their disposal to keep him right, Warren.
For me, he was the best performance around the country yesterday. Time to get the team's runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
How do you wrap up yesterday, Brad?
Yeah, my run of the day, I'm going to give it to Zulfika nice and early in the piece. He's a horse that's done really well early on in his campaign and he's tracking nicely to potentially win some bigger races. And the horse to follow, I'm going to go with Tecito. We spoke about Balmere, could very easily have made it Balmere, but I'm going to go with Tecito because I just hope the Lindsay Park team don't get too ambitious with Tecito, because I think there's going to be some good opportunities for that horse over the next few weeks, and it would surprise me if it's a maiden for too much longer.
Great work, Brad, and best of luck with the Wallen Thirds for the future.
I'm more worried about golf this afternoon. We've got the Wallen Social Golf Club Summer Cup on, Warren, and I hit them terribly on Friday, so we've got to see if we can improve that today.
Only way you can go is up from there.
Absolutely.
Brendan, how do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day, I'm going to go Rotara Taki for mine. She just continues to step up to the bar that's raised in front of her. Horse to follow for mine is Balmere. I think had she got a clear run through, she would have been right there in the finish of the race she contested there yesterday with Benedetta. So Balmere is my horse to follow.
About to take a sports update with Andrew Cuse. What have we got to look forward to on Sunday Central, Brendan?
We've got the Sale Quality meeting at Sale today, so Harry White's going to join me to preview that program of racing. We've also got the track managers, Josh McKinley, Jade Kennedy from both Sale and Ararat to take us through the numbers and the ratings for their respective tracks today. Wallora Cup Day at Ararat today. Trav Noonan will take us through his thoughts on that car before we join George Ferrugia to talk all things greyhound racing. Fields and Boxdraw released for the Tim Lee, the Rookie Rebel on the Zoom Top to be held at the Meadows. Rob Orber will join us to talk trots with a big wrap of the Hunter Cup program from last night. Nicole Thomas will join us from the Tab, and Tom will find us all the winners for the program of racing in Hong Kong this afternoon.
Plenty to look forward to in a busy couple of hours. Aft Cabin, my run of the day from the Eskimo Prince in Sydney. And I thought Northern Barrage was a horse to follow for the Mick Kent stable. He looks like a horse with a bright future, particularly when he steps up in ground. Takes us out for Correct Weight. Time for a sports update with Andrew Cuse. Sunday Central with Brendan Delaney.